ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ The last nama we saw was nama number 736. Nama number 736 is Bhakta Vatsalaha, one who has got the love for devotees. Bhakta Vatsala, whose love for devotees is well known. One whose love for the devotees no bounds. Meaning, the moment any person comes in line with Brahman. See, when we talk about divinity, we talk about divinity in different levels. Brahman, which is beyond Maya Shakti, which is attributeless. That is one level. Then the next is Brahman plus Maya, called as Ishvara. That is the next level. Then, from that Ishvara, this universe has come. So then you say Ishvara is the Karanam. What kind of Karanam? What kind of cause? The material cause as well as the intelligent cause. The material from which the world is made up of is pure consciousness of Brahman. And the intelligence that brought about this universe is also within Ishvara. So Ishvara is both material cause and intelligent cause. That is the relationship. But even though Ishvara is the material cause and intelligent cause, and he pervades this universe. He pervades this universe, yet he is independent of this universe. The relationship. Yet Ishvara is independent of this universe. And not only Ishvara is the creator, Ishvara maintains the order in this universe, and hence Ishvara is called as Dharma. The very Dharma is Lord. So those who follow Dharma, Dharma will support them. Those who obey the laws will get the benefit. Those who disobey the law will be punished. So bhaktas, devotees, are those who understand the higher order. From the individual angle, as a jiva, I must park in the total conflagration. Just a small speck. Myself being just a small speck, I don't have to think that I am everything. I am a part of the total. So, those devotees, they function as a spoke in the wheel of life. So thus, when you dissolve your ego and function, you draw lot of support from outside. So, Bhakta Vatsala, one who is devoted, the Lord loves the person. One who has got love for his devotees. God loves doesn't mean, you know, when you come to Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, I think verse 28, I think. He very clearly says, 28 or 29. He says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. I am equal in everyone. And for me, none is hateful, none is close. Right? And yet, those who worship me, they are dear to me. They are in me, I am in them. What he is trying to say? He is trying to say that, you know, it's like, I heard it first from President Obama, I don't know about others. When he won the election first time, and he was elected as the president, gave a speech, and then he said, I am the president of both the red and blue states. I will be one. Though he is from Democrat Party, blue states means they voted for him, red states didn't vote for him, majority of them maybe. But he said, since I am the president, I am president for both. What does it mean? Means I'll do what is right for everyone. And the whole country is governed by the laws of the country. So those who follow the laws and do good for their countrymen, to the society, they'll be awarded. Those who go against the law, they'll be punished. There is no preferential hatred or love or anything of the sort. So similarly, divinity doesn't hold anyone closer and anyone far away. It is our identification. So bhakta vatsala, one who has got love for devotees. See, when you follow dharma, your conscience doesn't prick you. It supports you. So you are calm, and that helps you to be more productive. And also you draw support from outside. So in every way, you will be helped. Next shloka. Suvarna varno hemango varangas chandanangadi viraha vishamashunyo dhritashira chalaschalaha suvarno hemango varangas chandanangadi viraha vishamashunyo dhritashira chalaschalaha suvarna varnaha, golden colored. One who has got the color of the gold. Gold means brilliance. In the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna requests Sri Krishna to show the Vishwarupa Darshana, he says, if 1,000 suns were to rise, that brilliance will be nothing compared to this brilliance that I am experiencing now. So golden colored, one who has got the color of the gold, suvarna varnaha. Golden colored is none other than Lord Narayana. So the pure self is that brilliance that lends its brilliance to the otherwise insentient body, mind, intellect. So therefore, is the very illuminating pure awareness. Hence is called as Suvarna Varnaha. So anywhere we see any brilliance, that's a reminder for us of the divinity. Even when our brilliance is appreciated, it's a reminder to us of the divinity. That brilliance, the pure consciousness that illumines our mind, intellect. So, therefore, you know, he says, that is the pure illumining awareness. Suvarna Varnaha. Then, Hemangaha. Again, the same thing. One whose form is like that of gold. Hemanga. One whose limbs are of gold. Who has limbs of gold. So the very famous description of the Lord is as the Lord functioning through the orb of the sun. Lord himself says, I am the light in the sun, in the moon, in the fire. So when he says, one who is formed like that of gold, what it means is, I am the shining factor in the sun, which illumines this entire world. So Hemangaha. Then Varangaha. He, the parts of whose form are brilliant with beautiful limbs. Now this is from the person who is meditating, if you think it from his angle. The Lord's form is beautiful for the mind to meditate. So Varangaha, with the beautiful limbs. Vara means lovable. Therefore Narayana is described as the one whose form is supremely lovable to the yogi of meditation. So Varangaha, lovable form. So when we understand the symbolism behind the Lord's form, those of you who wish to understand the symbolism, there is a book by Swamiji called The Symbolism of Hindu Gods and Rituals and Festivals. So you can go through the book. You can download it. You can buy it from Amazon, or you can download it to your iPad and read it. So when you understand the beautiful form of the Lord, the symbolism behind it, even the hand in which he carries chakra, gada, it is actually for the welfare of the person on whom these weapons strike. So from one angle it appears as if he is destroying them with the chakra. But that is also for what purpose? It is also for the purpose of getting them back on track, back on track. See, all these punitive cells are for what purpose? To rehabilitate. So that after rehabilitation, they can be brought into the societal stream. You know, there is an order, but egoistically they do something which is not complying with that order. So then they need to be taken and rehabilitated. After rehabilitation, when they are found to be okay, to be amalgamated with the societal system, fine, amalgamate them, merge them again. So, he, the parts of whose form are brilliant, not only the total is brilliant, even when that Lord who is formless is brought in a form, is beautiful, Karunamurti. So the mind easily attunes to that form in meditation. So Varangaha, Chandanangadi, one who is adorned with amulets that generate joy. Chandana means joy giving, and sandal also. So one who is smeared with sandal is one meaning. One who is smeared with sandal can be understood in different ways also. Sandal gives nice fragrance, and the element earth has a fragrance. When the rain water falls on the element earth, you get the fragrance of the earth. So sandal can represent earth also. So one who is wearing the earth as his cloth, the wearer of, you know, the earth. That is one way of understanding. Other is this joy-giving amulet. You know, the soldiers wear it on their shoulders to protect themselves from the enemy swords. So, when you wear God on you, I don't know if you've seen a typical devotee of the Lord, especially from South India, the Brahmins, both the Shaivites and the Vaishnavites. Especially Vaishnavites, you'll see. They'll have the Nama of the Lord on their forehead, on their arms. In the body, they have. So, what does that mean? It means they have dedicated themselves for the realization of the self. They work as the agent of the Lord. Sharanagati, complete Sharanagati. So when you accept Lord as your amulet, He protects you from all difficulties. In the beginning, we chanted certain mantras where we initiated the Lord and protected the body from head to toe. Basically what it means is, when you come under the shelter of the divinity, you are protected. With the knowledge, when you don't give it to the ego, you annihilate the ego and come into the total system, dharma. Dharma protects you. And not only does it protect you from the enemy's swords. Enemy means what? The likes and dislikes. There is no enemy outside. The raga and dvesha. That is the enemy. So, protects you. It's beautiful and it protects. So when you wear the Lord in your head, in your complete personality, the Lord protects you. And when you lead such a life, life is full of joy, celebration, bliss, enjoyment. The I that comes and mixes in our life destroys all the happiness. That's the problem. The problem is I comes and mixes. You nicely, you know, prepare something very nice. Then you add some unnecessary thing which destroys the whole preparation. It's like that. Just need to remove the false notion I. Then your life becomes beautiful. When the high comes, the joy is destroyed. So that's all he says, Chandanangadi. One who's adorned with the amulets that generate joy. How does it generate joy? By protecting us from this false ego, false notion. Viraha, one who destroyed heroes, like Hiranyakashipu, for protecting dharma. So, the moment you come under the shelter of the divinity helps you to ward off the obstacles. That's the main thing. The thought, that divine thinking, creates a certain level of awareness in us. That wards off the difficulties. Even if things are difficult, when you bring in Lord, the difficulty is not that big of a problem. You easily cross that. If you keep Lord's Nama in your head. So he says, one who destroyed heroes like Hiranyakashipu, Viraha. And all these Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, all these fellows are within us. They are not outside. So with the support of the self, we need to destroy all these deadly enemies. Navratra is coming. When is Navratra? Next week, is it? I don't know. It's coming shortly.
It's on the 24th, 25th, I think.
Oh, is it?
Oh, I think 26th.
Okay. So the starting day is 26th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, first 3 days we worship Durga Ma. Durga Ma is the one who destroyed Mahishasura. Asura in the form of Mahisha. You know, Mahisha represents what? Tamas. Deadliest enemy. Karenge. Dekenge. Ho jayega. Bilkul, bilkul, bilkul. Understand? Kuch nahi hoga. that is the greatest enemy, tamas, deadliest enemy. Tamas sitting at the physical level, emotional level and intellectual level. First needs to be fought. So you worship Durga Ma, draw the inspiration from Durga Ma and destroy the tamas in us. All evil tendencies. The tamas works as what? Wanting to get without contributing. You should not do anything, but everything should be there with you. Others' property also should come to you. A tamasic tendency. Always looks for things free, free, free. You know, that sort of a tamas is deadly. Destroy that. First 3 days, tamas at all levels, body, mind, intellect level needs to be destroyed. And then the next 3 days you worship Ma Lakshmi. Lakshmi represents wealth, all positivity. Wealth does not mean just material wealth. At the physical level, health is your wealth. At the mental level, mental health. Many people are suffering from mental ill health. You understand? Everywhere is the problem. Mental wellness. The strength is so, it's not there first of all. Arjuna had physical health. He had skill. He had material health. He had everything. But mentally he had no health. So, at physical level, emotional level, intellectual level, we need to develop wealth. That is next step. Positivity. Dharma. Then that is for next 3 days. Then once you develop enough positivity, you qualify to gain knowledge. So at the body level, mind level, intellect level, we worship Ma Saraswati, gaining knowledge. At physical level, what is real? Strength. Is it having more material stuff around me? What is real strength? It is not having many things around me. It is the ability to be without many, without any further matter. You, like that you develop all the knowledge. Then with that knowledge, you conquer the ego completely on the 10th day. That is Vijayadashami. Victorious. Conquest over the ego and egocentric desires and egoistic attitude. That is Vijayadashami. So Viraha, Mahavira, which battle did he go and conquer whom? It's called Mahavira because he conquered this enemy. Is the deadliest fellow sitting inside. With so much of pride you say that. How can I forget? Oh my God. How can I forget? So, when you talk like that, understand the enemy is happily sitting and you make and is making you proud. That is a very dangerous thing. You feel that you are correct. All this unnecessary madness. So one who destroyed heroes like Hiranyakashipu for protecting Dharma. See, in other words, Hiranyakashipu represents what? Represents the worst form of ill health in a person. Everything is me, me-centeredness. Everybody should respect me, obey me, I am the ultimate. Everything is me. Me and mine. That is Hiranyakashipu. That is Hiranyakashipu. That is everybody. All these are sukras. So what they do is they destroy the system. It's like, this example will probably help you. You know, you are on the road, you are driving and going. There is the lane system. There are certain rules. Then the signal is there. You got to respect all that. But sometimes you find these fellows. They drive as if the entire road is theirs. And they'll go this way, that way. They can do anything they want. They won't stop in the red light. They create problem. One fellow, when he becomes a dharmic, meaning, I am the system. Around me, everybody should function. There is a system into which I am sublimating. No. That is not how he functions. So then what happens is, in nature, to combat such things, a force will arise. Just click it. This is something part of nature. Please understand this. People cannot take it. Corona is a challenge that confronted us. And world over, people, you know, fought to find certain vaccines for that. So they found it. They fight it. So in nature, what happens is, when the system goes against dharma, there's a problem, chaos. Nature sets it right. You cannot continue in imbalance for long. You want to set it right. So the solution comes from within. So he says, he is the solution to destroy the egoistic forces. Vishamaha, one to whom there is no equal, because nothing is comparable to him by any characteristic. Vishamaha means one who is not at all comparable. See, how can you compare the conditioned world or worldly objects and beings with the unconditioned self? It's not possible. So in the Bhagavad Gita also Arjuna says, none exists equal to you. Space is all pervading. But is it really all pervading? Is it there in the deep sleep? No. But the Atma is there. Time is eternal. But is it really eternal in deep sleep? Time is also not there. Causation is also not there, which is endless. So really speaking, who is eternal, endless, all pervading? Brahman. So really speaking, one who is beyond comparison. That's what it means. Vishama.
But Guruji, one question. In deep sleep, you are not even conscious or aware of Brahman. No? Like, you are not aware of time or space.
You can never be conscious of Brahman.
So you are not conscious of any of these things.
That is because, not because consciousness is not there. Because there is no object for it to be conscious of. See, you see this mobile phone. Because the light is reflecting on that object. When there is no object for the light to reflect, you will not see anything. Correct or not?
Right, yes.
So that's it. So that doesn't mean there is no light. Object is here. That's why when you travel in space, they say in some places it's fully dark because there is no object for the light to reflect. So it's not the light is not there. It's not the absence of light. It's the absence of objects for the light to reflect. You only see reflected light. Similarly, you cannot know the pure consciousness. And the pure consciousness strikes the objects and beings the body, mind, intellect, then you see the reflected consciousness. Is that okay?
Yeah. No, I understood that part, but I didn't understand because I felt like in deep sleep, you're not conscious of anything, not even,
correct.
So but it's still there. Yes, it's still there. It's the consciousness is still there, even though you can't see it or sense it.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. So in deep sleep, the mind is not there, but the pure consciousness is there.
Right.
Therefore, okay. The false notion, I is not there, but it is there in the seed form. And it's called causal body. When you wake up, that comes again. Is that okay?
Yes, 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 okay.
So, Vishamaha, one who is beyond comparison. In any way, you cannot compare. All-pervading, endless, eternal, you never see. Then, Shunya. Shunya, the one who being without any attributes appears as Shunya, appears, remember that, emptiness. See, what do you see now? You see the phone? Yes? Did you see the phone? Nobody's answering?
Yes, 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 yes.
What do you see? Now do you see anything?
Hand. Your hand. No phone.
You are actually, first you saw the object. Then there is nothing. But the substratum, palm is there. That is called the void of our Advaita philosophy. Are you with me? It is not the void of non-existence. It is the void of pure existence. Are you understanding what I am saying? This is not non-existence of Buddhism. It is a pure existence without the object. See, in other words, pure consciousness is objectless awareness. They ask you, are you conscious? What will you ask? Will you answer the question yes sir, no sir, or you'll ask another question? You'll ask another question. You'll say, conscious means what sir? Conscious of what? You say, are you conscious? Conscious of what sir? Will you ask or not? So
yes.
Conscious of what? This is called conditioned conscious. I'm conscious of this body, I'm conscious of this mind, I'm conscious of this everything around me. But when everything around me, the mind, everything drops, there is nothing to be conscious of, but the consciousness exists. When there is nothing to be conscious of, that objectless awareness state, is that state what you call as Shunya. But Shunya is generally understood as what? There is nothing. So it is not to be understood as a state of non-existence. It is a state of pure existence. Shunya. And then, Dhritashi. One who has no need for any good wishes from anyone. One whose blessings are unfailing. When he blesses, will benefit. And he doesn't require any blessing. One who has no need for any good wishes from anyone. That is called Dhritashi. Absolutely no need for any good wishes. What good wish can you give to Lord Vishnu? He is the personification of goodness. He is the personification of Dharma. So, there is no need in the infinite Lord for any objects or beings of this finite world. It is called Dhritashi. And then achalaha. Achalaha means chala achala. These contradictory terms are used. These last two namas. Achala means not moving. So therefore, he is the one who is not fallen also. So the world that you are seeing is an illusion. The world is not fallen state of Brahman. That is one understanding. Other is, when something is all pervading, there is no question of movement. Movement is possible only from a place where you are to a place where you are not. You cannot move otherwise. Understand? So this movement is only from a place where you are to a place where you are not. And Brahman is all pervading. How can there be movement? So it is achala. But the same Brahman seems to be moving. Same Brahman, which doesn't move, seems to be moving because of its association with the body, mind, intellect. What is the example we have discussed for this in the classes before? Anybody can recollect any example? Yes or no?
Would it be death?
To me, it seems that, you know, like where the two frames where they're mirror, in one of them there's a mirror, so there's reflection.
No. The moon above seems to be moving when the clouds move. This is a relative example. Isn't it? The moon is seemingly moving. But what is actually moving? The clouds. Are you getting it? Or you are sitting in the train. There are a lot of trees on the way. When the train is passing, you as a seated passenger watching the scenic beauty outside. For you, what appears to be moving? Huh? The trees appears to be moving. But the trees are not moving. This is the Maya. That achala tattvam is you. But today you think you are this chala. Do you see the confusion? If somebody comes and tells you are the chala, you do not question that. But if somebody comes and says you are achala, what do you mean achala? I am not moving. This is the problem. The fundamental root cause of all the suffering is this. Understanding achalam to be chalam. But from a relative angle, it is chalam. It appears to be chalam. So you can call it both as achalam and chalam. But from the absolute, it is only achalam. It doesn't move. Next verse. Amani mana domanyo loka swami trilokadra sumedha medha jodanna danya satya medha daradaraha amani mana domanyo loka swami trilokadra sumedha medha jodanya satya medha daradaraha amani. Amanitvam is one quality that we have studied in the Bhagavad Gita. Amani. Manam means pride. Amanam means no pride. One who has no false vanity. Absolutely no false vanity. He who, being of the nature of pure consciousness, has no sense of identification with anything that is not us. The biggest problem is manam. Isn't it? And that's why when you name and shame a person. You steal their properties, you steal this and that also, it may not affect them that much. But if a person is named and shamed, it becomes too much. You find it very difficult to live in the same society. But now we are living in a tamasic society. Swamiji says, you know, the society is very proud, saying I can stand 10 pegs. So he used to say, the time will come where, oh God, what a great fellow he is, he's done 10 murders. What he's done, only other fellow is 1,000, you know. So, all this nonsense. Thing is going ulta everything. He who, being of the nature of pure consciousness, has no sense of identification with anything that is not Atman. False identification is not there. Mana comes when I identify with the body, mind, intellect complex. You even find it difficult to ask questions in some context. Because you have feeling, will they think that it is some stupid question? People will laugh if I ask this question. And that too, something very, very basic, for example. See, you are studying Vedanta for so many years, 10, 11 years now. Supposing you have a question, simple question. What is mind? Do you have the guts to ask it in the class? You should actually ask if you have that question. You should not feel any sense of shame or anything to ask. You don't become stupid by asking any question. You remain stupid if you continue not asking any question. So here, it's very difficult, isn't it? Oh, what will people think if I ask about mind? So let me ask privately. That manav prachana. In Tamil they say manav prachana. Izzat ka mamla, correct. In Hindi that is the thing. Izzat ka mamla. He has no mana. That is why he is ready to be called as Ranachod Das. I cannot leave the battlefield. Manam. He has no mana. See, there are two things. One, in a tamasic also no mana. Like a fellow who is drunk. He does all kinds of nonsense. People around him are getting entertained by that stuff. That is not the amani that he is talking about. Like a child has no ego. Child is innocent. But the difference between child's innocence and the self-realized soul's innocence is, in the case of child's innocence, it is unconscious. In the case of a realized soul, it is consciousness. So, amani. There is no identification whatsoever with the false identity. Therefore, no false vanity. Being as it is. All this comes only for the false things. Only the false thing needs to be propped up. When you are saying lies, you need to support it with lot of logic, reason and all that. But truth is its own support. You don't need logic anymore. You logically disprove it, you logically prove it, it doesn't matter to the truth. We are trying to understand truth through logic. Very logical. Very logical. We want the truth to be logical because that is what appeals to the mind. But truth is neither logical or illogical. It is beyond all this. So amanitva, amani. Manada. One who by his power of maya induces the sense of the self in the beings. Or one who has regard and beneficence towards devotees. Or one who destroys in the knowing ones the sense of identification with the non-self. What he is saying is, first of all when he says, manada, one who by his power of maya induces this sense of individuality. And he is the one who gives this identification with the body. And he also, the word mana, very interesting, can also mean honor. And therefore, manada can mean one who honors all his true devotees. The word manada has two different meanings. One is one who honors, first meaning is, one who, with the power of maya, gives the false identification. Other is, one who gives the honor to the person through the knowledge. That's what it is. One who honors all his true devotees with the wealth that they deserve. And also da means, very very interesting meaning is there. Da means blasting, destroying. One who destroys the mana. So, when the self is as it were covered by the power of maya, you get this mana. And then, when you gain the knowledge, destroys it. So manada, one who destroys in the knowing ones. In the knowing ones means jnanis. The sense of identification with the non-self. What is the difference between us and the jnanis? We identify with the non-self. We don't identify with it. We don't identify with the shadow. We identify only with the reality. That's the difference. Then Manyaha, one who is to be adored by all because he is the God of all. Manyaha, one who is worthy of worship. One who is worthy to be identified with. See, if you stand with somebody, you better make sure that you stand with someone who will stand with you always. Standing with your friends and then you confronted some other big fellow. And once you started confronting and you turn back and see none of your friends are there. They left you high and dry. In your good days they are with you. In your difficult times they leave you. What kind of friends are they? How to worship them? How to identify with them? How they can become the people for worship, worthy of worship, they won't. So if you see gold, platinum, diamond, whatever you take, nothing is worthy of worship or nothing deserves to be adored. that which always stays with you in good and bad times is what is deserved to be worshipped, adored. He says, therefore, manya, one who is to be adored by all the time the self is with you. In the world, even people who claim to have or who genuinely realized is respected. And how much more the self should be honored and respected. Manya. Then, and when you worship the Lord, it is good for you. It is not a thing for the Lord. You worship, if you don't worship, nothing happens to the Lord. Loka Swami, who is the Lord of the entire universe, all the 14 lokas, the earth upwards and downwards. Basically different mind dimensions. Loka also means experiences. Loka Swami. So, loka in Sanskrit has different meaning. Loka means field of experience. And the Swami, the Lord, he says, you know, Lord is the one who is the boss of the fields of experience. Consciousness is that which illumines matter. That's what it means. Field of experience per se is what matters. It is insentient. But what lends sentiency to that? It is the consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the lord of matter. Loka Swami. Triloka Drut. Triloka means waking, dream, deep sleep. All experience. One who supports all the three worlds, Lokadrut, as a substratum. As a substratum, Lord is the one who supports all the three worlds. So he says, Lokadrut, Sumedaha, one with great and beneficent intelligence. Neda Shakti, Neda intelligence, Sumeda, the best. So Neda Shakti, generally they say, you know, one who is able to go back in memory and bring what was said few pages before in the context and connect it. One example that Swamiji always talks about in this context is, in Tamil Kamba Ramayana, when Lord Hanumanji met Mother Sita, in Tamil he says, "En kulathai enakku thandaal." She gave back my family trait. But there's a lot of interpretations are given. Swamiji says one interpretation he read was fantastic. He said, "En kulathai enakku thandaal," Hanumanji says, because she gave me a family trait. What is the family trait of the monkey? Not to be fixed on one thing. He'll be playing with the nuts and he'll see something else, he'll throw that and come to the bag that you are carrying. The trait of monkey, not to be single focused. He lost the trait when he first met Lord Rama in Kishkindha. Meaning he became single-pointed with Rama. Now when he met Sita Ma, his mind started thinking about Rama and Sita, Rama, Sita, Rama, Sita. So he became again a monkey. So the interpreter went back many verses and connects an interpreter. It's called Medha Shakti. So how is it connected here? What are we essentially? Huh? What are we essentially? From the Vedic angle. Anybody?
From the monkey mind.
From essential angle.
Atma.
Atman. From the absolute angle, you are Atma. But you have forgotten that. What does it mean? You do not have intelligence. Correct? You have forgotten that. Therefore, you are thinking yourself to be this limited individual. Manam and all that comes. But when it comes to the Lord, does he ever forget himself? There is no question of Lord forgetting himself. Correct? So, Lord never forgets himself. Yes, Sumedha. Sumedha. Beautiful Nama. Sumedha, because Lord never forgets. He remembers. What is the difference between us and selfless souls? We do not know, we have forgotten our true nature. They remember, they forget. It's not remember, it doesn't mean in memory. You don't understand it like that. They never forget that they are divinity. In any situation. So, Sumedaha. Medha Jaha. Medha, Ashwamedha Yaga Desi. So, one who arose from Yaga, a kind of service, Yajna, one who is born of Yajna, sacrifice. When you sacrifice the false I, the true I remains. So he says, therefore, Medha Jaha, born of sacrifices. That is the Lord. So they do a lot of these yagas, you know, yajnas. Ashwamedha yaga is one. Yajna is talked about in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also. Anna bhavanti bhutani parjanyat anna sambhavaha yajnyat bhavati parjanyaha. So, the yajna, the yaga is talking about here as Medhaja, who arose from sacrifice. So when in the Jnana Yajna, you sacrifice all your personality layers, what arises? Self. See, before Swami Chinmananda introduced this Jnana Yajna, as a tradition, Jnana Yajna is there in Bhagavad Gita, the word Jnana Yajna. Chinmayanandaji took that and he said, let us have Gita Jnana Yajna. In different centers, everywhere. Gita Jnana Yajna. So the flame of knowledge. In the flame of knowledge, you offer your personality layers. Then what remains is divinity. So, you want to know the truth, you need to function in yajna. Through the yajna, you know the self. Only when your life is based on service and sacrifice, do you realize the self. Otherwise, no, it's not possible. Life is not based on service and sacrifice, you can never know the self. Our life is far from service and sacrifice. All aggrandizement. That is a beautiful tradition Swami Jagannathji started, Gita Dhyaya Yajna. And Swamiji says we should not stop that tradition. So we continued even during Corona, we did it online. This year again we are doing it in person. Yajna is from 9th November to 13th November. Sunandaji will be coming and doing the second chapter, part B, the Stata Prajna portion. So, when we participate in a yajna and gain the knowledge destroys the false notion, ego. When the false notion, ego is destroyed, what comes out of it? Divinity. So, medaja, one who arose from yajna, yaga. Then, danyaha, one who has attained all his ends and therefore is self-satisfied. Doesn't want anything, very fortunate. Fortunately, I don't need anything. You say, no? Oh, how is life? Dhanya Swamiji, very fortunate Swami. All fine, all going good. You say that, no? Dhanya. Dhanya means fortunate. The most fortunate is Brahman because he has no requirements. No wants whatsoever. There is nothing that he wants. Dhanya. One who has attained all his ends, and therefore is completely self-satisfied. There is zero wants for the divinity. There is no object to be fulfilled. Everything is fulfilled. Total contentment, that's what it means. Apurya manam achala pratishtam samudra mapa pravishanti. That's what we studied in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, end. He compares the state of centralized person with that of the ocean. Constantly water is evaporating from ocean. Constantly water is pouring into ocean. Does it make any difference? Absolutely no difference to the ocean. Ocean doesn't have any problem. Even if there is constantly water being evaporated. So similarly, in the case of a self-realized person, there is no discontentment whatsoever. There is zero dependence, so therefore no discontentment at all. Danyaha. There is no want, there is no requirement, there is no condition. Then, satyamedaha. One whose intelligence is fruitful. One whose intelligence never fails. One whose intelligence never gets conditioned by this finite world and its appearance. That is called satyamedaha. One whose intelligence never fails. In our case, our intelligence fails the moment we are surrounded by some objects and beings. We lose what we studied in the class. Everything goes for a toss. But in this case, it's always there. The awareness is 24/7. Once he is established, the awareness is 24/7. Satyameda. One whose intelligence is fruitful. Truthful. Therefore, fruitful. That is why he is called as Satyamedaha. Never fails. His intelligence never fails. It's very, very simple. In the sense, when you are attuned to the divinity, you don't actually have to rely on your memory or anything. Spontaneously you give solutions. And spontaneously you are able to provide solution, find solution, because you are attuned to the divinity, which is a substratum of everything. Satyam. So your intelligence will function with no obstruction or distraction. So satyamedha. Your intelligence therefore will do the right thing and will get the benefit always. Your intelligence can never be tricked by the multitudinal challenges that the world throws at you. Understand that it is only one pure consciousness that has become many and functioning like this. So the intelligence can never be disturbed. Dharadaraha, one who supports the world by his fraction, by a fraction, like Adishesha. Adishesha, on which the Lord is sleeping. And he is the one who supports us, you know, from his navel, as well Padmanabha. From his navel, Brahmaji comes. And then Brahmaji has created his entire locus, his universe. The sole supporter of this universe. It's beautiful when you pause and understand how through the energies of the sun that enters into the matter, energizes them, and it enters your body, energizes you, and then when you consume that life that has entered the matter, and you throw the waste. The body throws the waste, it just consumes the life. The life principle through the sun and the moon has entered the matter. So when you have them, the life supporting principle supports life and throws away the other stuff. So therefore he says, dhara, dhara. Adhara of this universe. This universe without him will be without Adhara. It's like, do you have Adhara card? Yes, I have Adhara card. So the Adhara for all the world is nothing but Brahman. That's all he says. Who supports the world by a fraction. Sole supporter of the earth. Everything in this universe is supported. The entire dream is supported by the waker's mind. The famous example. So with that, let's conclude now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Vidyatmanava Prakate Swabhava Karomi Adya Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayami. Hari Om.
Hari Om.